Welcome to day 160 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to be reading Proverbs chapters 19, 20, and 21 from the New American Standard Bible. And these three chapters address the issues of people's lives and just how they conduct themselves in life. So you will hear many proverbs that deal with people's conduct in life. You'll enjoy these. There are many words of wisdom here in these three chapters of Proverbs. So beginning at Proverbs chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. Chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do not love sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes his way, then he boasts. There is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. Take his garment when he becomes surety for a stranger, and for foreigners hold him in pledge. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? It is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows, to make inquiry. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds his throne by righteousness. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. Chapter 21. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, The lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. When the scoffer is punished, the naive becomes wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked, turning the wicked to ruin. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. A wicked man displays a bold face, but as for the upright, he makes his way sure. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to address a subject that was brought up in Proverbs 19 and also Proverbs 21. Let me read these two verses to you, and then we'll discuss the idea that's brought forth from these particular verses of Scripture. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." Then in Proverbs 21, verse 13, we see the opposite in a sense. It says, "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered." So the idea presented with these two proverbs is that God's principle for living is giving. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to God himself, and God himself will repay him for his good deed. And then the other side is true as well. The person who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, who refuses to give, who has a reason, oh, maybe they'll spend it wrongly if I give them money, he himself will cry also and not be answered. God has given us a charge to be a people who have generous hearts, who are givers, who have compassion for the poor. Jesus himself said, "The poor you will have with you always." That was going to be a reality. And Jesus had money out of his purse that was carried by Judas, who carried the collected money for Jesus and his disciples. And out of that, they gave to the poor and made offerings. It was Jesus's lifestyle. Jesus was always a giver. He gave everything. He gave himself. So we are exhorted in these Proverbs to be a giving people, to have a heart for the poor, to be gracious to a poor man. And when you do that, God considers that to be lending to him, and he always repays his debts. God is never a debtor to any person, no matter how much money a person on this earth gives to God's purposes, to God's causes. God always repays in his own way to the generous soul. And yet we're reminded or warned with this second proverb, Proverbs 21:13, that the person who actually shuts up his heart, shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, will end up in need and nobody will hear his cry. That's a very startling and sobering thought. Let me tell you the story of a man that I admire very, very much. He is a missionary to Mexico for more than 60 years. His name is Wayne Myers. This man, if he has a mission statement for his life, it would be the words, "living to give." I have never seen such a person in all of my life whose entire dedicated purpose is living to give and teaching other people the joy of giving. And Wayne Myers and his wife Martha have never been wealthy people in the sense that the world would assign the title of wealth or wealthy, but they have been givers of phenomenal amounts of money over their lifetimes, people who have helped build native churches in many foreign countries, helped to raise money for so many missionaries to have cars and themselves paid for those cars. They have lived a life of extraordinary giving, and yet they've walked a very humble and quite ordinary life if you looked at their checkbook. Yet they have been phenomenal givers and have taught people to do so. They told the story, and I'm going to quote Wayne Myers from his book called Living Beyond the Possible, which is a book that was written by Wayne Myers about trusting God with your finances and your future and becoming a person who lives to give regardless of where you start out with your finances. Maybe you only have a little bit of money. Maybe you're a student. And yet Wayne Myers learned to give when he had very little, and he's continued to give phenomenal amounts all of his life. And he told a very touching story in his book, Living Beyond the Possible, that I'm going to quote from right now, that I believe will bring home the point about being willing to give wherever you are at in life right now, no matter how little you have or how much you have, but being willing to be a giver. Wayne Myers wrote this in his book. "When Martha and I visited the small southern African nation of Malawi several years ago, we flew to the border of Mozambique to hold a conference for the Christians of both nations. From our vantage point in the twin-engine Piper Aztec, we saw the results of a land ravaged by war and famine. 280,000 refugees were camped in the middle of a parched red clay desert where water and food were very scarce. thousands of survivors had fled the war in Mozambique. And even though they were living in limbo, they were the fortunate ones who were fed by the United Nations. Multiple thousands of desperate Africans were starving while trying to scratch out a living in a barren land controlled by a hostile government. Martha and I, and our hosts, Rod and Ellie Hine, arrived at the church where the campaign was being held. We were greeted by the sounds of beating drums and 1,500 Africans singing and dancing. These Christians were proof of what I have taught all over the world. Happiness is not based on what you have, but who you know. Some, dressed in rags, had walked for 4 days to get to the meetings, with little food to eat along the way. When we realized that it had been several years since they had tasted meat, we immediately arranged to buy 2 cows to feed them during the conference. I had no idea they would slaughter the animals right there on the spot. There was nothing to do but preach while competing with the pitiful bleating of 2 reluctant sacrifices in the background. Martha and I were honored to share in the Hines ministry to these Africans who had survived drought and national chaos and still held on to their faith in God. I knew that the message I had shared in some of the wealthiest churches in the United States, Australia, South America, Europe, and Asia had the power to change the lives of these poverty-stricken, war-ravaged believers. But I needed courage. How could I tell such poor people to give? I was looking into the eyes of some of the most desperate people in the world, but somehow someone had to tell them that God's irrefutable laws would work for them just as it would for their fat, wealthy American brother. I shared the scriptures with them and challenged them to think of others. All of us can give something, I admonished them. If all you have is a handful of peanuts, share a little with your neighbor. Help someone lift their load. Carry water for the older grandmother. Suddenly, there was a commotion in the crowd. I could hear the sounds, but I couldn't see what was causing everyone's attention to be drawn to the back of the crowd. I stopped speaking and asked Martha if she knew what was happening. It's Debbie, the Hines 9-year-old daughter, she told me. She's taken off her shoes and is trying them on the African children's feet, trying to find a fit so she can give them away. Little Debbie's instant response to the message was no doubt registered in heaven as one of the quickest acts of obedience on the earth. Her simple, childlike innocence reason that she had something that her poor barefoot friends needed, and so she gave what she had. Her unselfish act was the perfect illustration for my sermon. That 9-year-old's spontaneous reaction that day is to me what giving is all about. She didn't have to weigh the pros and cons of giving up her shoes, nor was she concerned she would be barefoot for the remaining days of our time at the border. Debbie didn't ask her parents if they're going to buy her another pair before she shared her own with an African girl who needed them. It was a gift from her heart. When people tell me they would like to give, but just aren't in a position to do so, I tell them about Debbie and the meeting in Malawi, Africa. All of us can give something. No one expected a 9-year-old girl to take care of the budget of feeding 1,500 hungry people, but she could share a pair of shoes. You have to start from where you are with what you have. When you practice giving, you will naturally grow in the grace of giving. No one starts giving away $10,000 all at once, especially if $100 is the most you've given. But whatever you have given, begin to increase the amount. You will find that heavenly economics will settle your financial problems and give you so much to give that it will take more prayer to ask God where He wants you to plant your offering. Just like everything else in your life of faith, God will guide you in the area of sharing your finances. Another excellent illustration comes from another story of Wayne Myers, the great missionary to Mexico, and he tells this story, and for me, it really illustrates how God never is a debtor to the giver, but He always repays people who give. It's God's way. When you sow your seed, whether it's giving to the poor, helping the church, doing anything in the kingdom of God as God has directed you, you will see a return on your giving. That's who God is. He is a giver, and He delights in His children who give. As Proverbs tells us, He will repay. God repays to the one who gives. Wayne Myers told this story about a time that he was ministering among the Otomi Indians north of Mexico City in a congregation that was located very high in the mountains in a tiny little village. That particular Sunday morning, Wayne Myers ministered on giving as he always did, trying to exhort people, encourage people to become givers regardless of their circumstances in life. And it became aware to him that many of the people in that tiny congregation in that mountain village were not tithing. So he announced that at 2:30 that afternoon, they would dedicate all the back tithes that people had not paid. He exhorted them to bring it, and first fruits of their harvests and all of that. And so one of the brothers in that congregation asked Wayne Myers if he could wait until 3 o'clock to do the dedication. When he asked him why, he said it would take him 3 hours to return home, catch the goat he wanted to give, and then make the long journey back over the mountain's path to the church. So Wayne Myers postponed the dedication at that brother's request. That man arrived at the appointed time, carrying a small goat. That day, Wayne Myers dedicated 46 chickens and turkeys, 9 goats and pigs, beans, corn, and cash, and it was all given to the pastor as the back tithes and first fruits from that tiny congregation. It brought a great time of rejoicing among those dear Indian people in those mountains of Mexico. Well, 10 years later, Wayne Myers returned to that same little church, and he asked the pastor, "On my first visit, how many goats did the man who had me delay the dedication own?" The pastor replied, 6. I asked him, "And how many does he own now?" The pastor said, "That man has goats all over the mountainside." I love that story because I know the Lord. I know He is a rewarder of those who obey Him, who seek to do according to His word, who love to give. And God is never a debtor to the giver. He always repays with blessing the people who give from their heart. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his good deed. Why don't you take some time today and pray? Ask the Lord, "What do I have that I can give and be a blessing to others? Where shall I give? How can I give to the poor in a way that's pleasing to You? Give to orphans." You can go on our website. We have an orphanage in Africa called Treasures of Africa Children's Home, and it's treasuresofafrica.org. Or find a widow that needs help. Find someone in your area, your neighborhood, where you can be a blessing. Just pray and ask the Lord to direct you so that you're obedient to Him in your giving. And God will indeed repay. He is such a faithful God, and He's very faithful to His word. And then, as God enables you, begin to increase your giving. You know, one thing I love about this couple, this missionary couple, Wayne and Martha Myers, that I have been giving you their illustrations, They made a pledge to one another early in their marriage that they were going to give financially some amount of currency, cash, every single day, find someone that needed something. And they weren't people of means that you would consider, but God always gave to them as they gave out. And also for so many, many years of their married life, every single day, 365 days of the year, they would give something. They said it was, sometimes it's just a tiny little bit of money. Sometimes it was a big check as God enabled them. But they had made a determination they were going to be like God, living to give. And there's no greater joy. And you will find that it will bless your life beyond your wildest dreams. You will enjoy it. It will bring you such amazing happiness in your life. And you will be a blessing to many. And God Himself will repay. God bless you and give you a victorious and giving week.